Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
All right, big Avengers Endgame recap podcast. It's live right now. Many of you might just be walking out of the theater. We saw it a few days ago. We're recording this actually on Tuesday before it comes out. We need to do this because we have no one to talk to about this movie. Guy in the street asked us, how was it? Gave him a simple. Yeah, gave him a simple. Good. Like, what are you going to say?
That's exactly what I said.
F-.
You did say F-.
I gave him the truth that no one else wants to sit now.
Is this the most spoiler-heavy movie you've ever seen? Like, you can't talk about it. Like, I don't think there's a way to talk about it.
I think we could say how it made us feel, but I think other than that, there's not much we can do.
It is very spoiler-heavy, but at the same time, like, I have a feeling everyone kind of knows where it's going anyways.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it is, like, it's spoiler in the sense that, like, certain people might die. So I don't, what can we say, Jeff? Are we constantly in spoilers?
I know
Zod just crawled in here.
Let's just start off with, I guess, the big thing. The battle at the end. It's the big reveal. All the Avengers, they undo the snap. They actually snap to undo Thanos' snap. The Hulk does it. Professor Hulk does it.
Professor Hulk school for nothing.
true.
For you to be dragging his name through the mud like that, Jeff.
Unfortunately, they didn't do what I wanted to do in this movie, where they all finally called them all by their hero names, like whatever you say.
Hey, it's Scarlet Witch.
Hawkeye. Which actually, he calls his daughter that early in the movie.
He
but anyway,
yeah,
yeah, hey, yeah. It's like, I'll miss you, Scarlet Witch. Like they just start saying all that. So what did we think? Was that the best part of the movie? The part where they all arrive. All the Avengers who were dusted away, decimated in Infinity War, and the huge battle. As somebody explained it on Twitter, I saw somewhere saying it's like Ready Player One's battle if you give a shit. Was that the best part of the movie for you?
I'd say that's pretty accurate, considering we have actual emotional ties to these characters, right? And we had down to Iron Man and Master Chief, like in Ready Player One.
Iron Giant.
Yeah.
Iron Giant, close enough. Iron Giant and Gundam Wing, cool character. Don't care.
That scene was cool. If we never talk about Ready Player One, the rest of this, and I like.
Yeah,
that
we
movie,
will. Yeah, that's
Steven Spielberg. Let's talk about him.
I have a hard time picking out a favorite part of the movie, but that the battle scene specifically was like when Thor and Rocket and Groot all show up in Wakanda in Infinity War times a billion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like it was the exact same emotion I had, except just more of it.
You know that, actually I can't compare this because schoolwork, you don't cry, laugh, and get excited, but like when you do a project and it takes you so fucking long and you have that sigh of relief, but like laugh, cry type thing, maybe a long bar tour, there you go, okay. Where you're really excited, that's like the culmination, like that's why I cried. It was the weirdest mixture, well I cried for other reasons, but for like when they all arrive, that I just teared up because you're like, damn, 10 fucking years, mm-hmm. I watched all these movies, all this hype, I've grown to love these characters, I'm connected to it. And you're excited. You have a fan service boner for the most part, but like done well. And then it's just emotional. It's the craziest mix of emotions I've ever felt in a movie.
I think it's like if you were to graduate high school, you liked everyone in your high school, and you know you're never going to see any of them ever again.
Yeah.
Is what it was like. Like you had this long, like 10-year, it's like we're all going to different colleges, and we, like for some unknown reason, are never going to see these people ever again.
And it obviously comes to a head with the line that we've been wanting to hear forever. Cap almost said it at the end of Age of Ultron. He said Avengers, and then it cuts out before he could say assemble. He finally says Avengers assemble, and then they fight. And I do think that's hands down my favorite moment in any Marvel movie ever. I didn't think much would be able to beat Thor and Wakanda in Infinity War, but that's it. Like, that's the moment. That everything led up to that moment.
Right, and like you figure, if I were to say that out loud, like what that scene is, and like it sounds corny, but it was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire
life. Yeah.
Him holding Mjolnir in one hand and his fucking shattered shield in the other and just saying Avengers assemble, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Well, even,
it was so cool.
Even before that, when it was just Iron Man, Cap, and Thor going
triple
to
teaming?
Fight him.
Like the OG
and,
three?
And Thor, like I remember saying it out loud as it was happening, because I'm an idiot. but he calls for both Mjolnir, which he gets.
You
back
did say that. I think you went both of them.
Yeah, I said, "Oh shit, he's getting both," because he just raises both hands and both of them come. I was like, "Well, Thanos is cooked. This movie's got 5 minutes left."
Yep.
I was wrong there as well.
Yeah, he's definitely still powerful as fuck, which is great.
With no stones.
Apparently, the best sword of all time, because it made up for him not having the Power Stone in their original
fight. Great sword.
That sword was a monster.
The best sword ever.
Some might say better dual sword than Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't get caught. Actually, he doesn't technically die. He gets decimated when Tony Stark does his snap with the Stark Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
That gauntlet was so fire.
Yeah,
that
so we'll get back to the end. Let's start from the beginning. This is not going to be a 3-hour pub, but we're going to try to hit all the marks start to finish.
I'm here.
Yeah, it's true. This could be before we get kicked out. Actually, we'll probably
razors.
Go to. We have an hour. We'll probably go to get
absolutely
kicked out.
Absolutely, no one's kicking us out. I don't care who's next.
Actually, if they try to kick us out, just tell them.
We'll spoil them.
It's Kevin, John, and Brendan who are seeing it later tonight. Just spoil it.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway,
I remembered what I was laughing at.
What was it?
They make the killing baby Hitler joke.
Oh yeah. First of all, that's horrible.
Yeah, they do make the killing baby Hitler joke.
I can't believe they said that.
Yeah, Coley laughed for a solid 30 seconds. No, maybe more. No exaggeration. I will say the only thing eating at me is that we also had a guy in our theater audibly guffaw at the least funny moment. Not even a joke. There was no joke.
Like it's a plot point.
Just a random line.
Yeah.
And he thought it was the funny. And we joked on the way walking to the office. We're like, maybe he's never seen these. And he was just like shooting his shot. Like, that's got to be a reference. And nobody laughed.
Trying to be the guy that starts to clap.
Just nothing. In the beginning, Clint Barton loses his family. That was fairly predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's one of those predictable things where you're like, oh, no. Like, no, he's about to lose his whole family. But then they did a nice job with it because he loses his daughter. And then I was like, oh, maybe just the daughter dies. Well, whole family gone.
Yeah, all of them out of there. He's just whistling.
Yeah,
maybe they ran away.
Where'd you go? You hiding?
Yeah. Yeah, so it starts with that, and then it goes right to Tony Stark playing paper football with Nebula.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good scene. That was so fucking good.
Yeah, that was funny. Very humanizing. Adds to her character a little bit. And then he starts recording his message, which you do think he cuts off, but then we hear it later, like the rest of it later on in the movie. I thought that was sentimental. That's a tough one because I feel like that's more emotional had you not seen it before, but that was probably the most used thing in the trailer.
Yeah, big time.
All the trailers had him recording that line and in the process of dying, and then they're saved by Captain Marvel. Not a total shock. I don't know what else would have saved them. Kind of based off how the trailers have been pieced together.
They did skip Captain Marvel's introduction, which I guess they just they used the what do you call post-credit scene from Captain Marvel as essentially a scene for this movie.
But even then, yeah, so the post-credit scene for Captain Marvel didn't happen.
Yeah, well, I guess they make that part of this. Like, they didn't actually include it in this movie. They're like, all right, we're assuming you all saw the Captain Marvel post-credit scene, and that's not just.
But even then,
they're
just like, we don't need the pleasantries. Like, she'll come down, and they clearly meet, and they skip the part where they meet, which is fine. Like,
very fine.
I know some people don't like, well, you did that part for the audience. Like, that line is for the audience. Like, I don't think we needed that. Like, we didn't need it. Great, fine. So then they go and they attack Thanos.
It's basically essentially an assassination attempt.
It is, yeah.
Like, straight up hit job.
They want the stones.
That killed me, too. Thanos was just dressed like Kanye.
Yeah.
He was like, shit. Thanos was wearing a t-shirt. I was like, where the fuck did he get that?
I will say the theater laughed at him eating food. I'm like, well, he's got to eat.
Yeah.
What's so funny about that? He's just cooking food. And then he gets his head chopped off by Thor.
And his arm, too.
Yeah, and his arm. And he proclaims that the reason why they were able to see that there was another energy surge with the stones because he destroyed him, which makes complete sense. Great end to his...
Why was he still wearing the gauntlet then after he destroyed the stones?
I think it was welded on.
So
I heard that going into it, like, at the end. This came, like, out last year that it was welded onto his hand or arm.
From the first snap?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Poor design, right?
Yeah. Just bad job by Eitri or whoever the dwarf...
Bad job by Peter Dinklage. Not in the movie.
Or no.
Giant?
Kind of happy.
Dwarf.
I didn't
dwarf
hate
him like that kind of sense.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't hate his character, but didn't need him again.
No.
Did it serve his purpose? Move on.
It will kill you, boy.
I was wondering what was like the most random character who was going to pop up. I knew Korg and
Meek.
Were
gonna, yeah.
Meek
oh, I
Meek?
Love the Nimmies. It's such a
Mike,
pleasant scene.
Well, he says like Mike. Like I don't know. Like the way Taika Waititi says it as Korg in that. New Zealand accent. It's kind of hard to figure out how to pronounce that character's name.
That's what I mean. I've never known.
Meek or Mike. I'm going to say Mike.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking of
Mike Podcast.
When he calls him Mike from Eurotrip, and it's really Mika.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Figure out the girl. Yeah. Or no, he calls her Mika, and then it turns out to be Mike. That's what I'm like thinking of when I read that.
We're skipping ahead a little bit, but we should talk about this Korg playing Fortnite and yeah, not being able to handle the chatter. First of all, clearly they're not into Fortnite, because you cannot do team speak on Fortnite versus people you are against. So unless the people
on
his team was shitting on him.
Might have rewatched
that.
Been.
If you stink.
Just like, you're so bad that his teammates are screaming at him. Yeah,
people are usually yelling at Smitty.
Yeah,
you've
that's
yelled
fair.
At Smitty.
Yeah, for sure.
Many times. At Smitty.
That was a big time. We'll get to that. We're going to get to Thor, why he's there. So they fail. It's over. What did you think was going to happen in the beginning? Because you kind of figured they were going to square off with him in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
I thought there was going to be a battle. I thought they were going to get their ass kicked.
I thought that was going to be part of it, too, but I knew that there's going to be like a time jump. Like, we hadn't hit that because it had been, what, I think they said 20-something days since the snap in the beginning of it. And I'm like, I know there's at least like a five-ish year jump at some point. So I'm like, they're going to get beat, but if he beat them, he would kill them. He wouldn't let them live.
Yeah.
But even
so
before that, like, when they bring back Tony and Nebula, Tony wants no part of it. He takes off his fucking, I'm blanking on the chest plate name.
Yeah, arc reactor.
Yeah, he takes off the arc reactor, he gives it to Cap, passed out immediately.
Right, yeah, before that. That's good. Glad you brought that up, yeah.
Because he's like, listen, I had a plan in Ultron. Like, you didn't like my plan then. This is what fucking happens. We lost, I'm out, fuck you. You killed your friend killed my mom.
Yeah, delirious space.
Still very mad about
delirious
this.
Space mind. So
he also, like, he looked like he was Tom Hanks in Castaway. It was like 20 days in space or something. Like, he lost 70 pounds.
Yeah, I'm thinking Survivor again. That's why I brought up Survivor. I'm thinking of Survivor. Like, they do lose a lot of weight. Yeah, and he wasn't eating much. He was eating those, like,
the
Zorg nuts.
Zorg nuts, yeah.
Yeah, that Drax.
No one can see me.
Yeah, Infinity War.
Still.
So they leave. Thor is clearly just beaten and distraught. He's gone. I mean, they're all done. And then it's the five-year time jump, which was like one of the big things no one really knew. I liked that they went that far.
Yeah.
Like, and we saw in the trailers, you know, the Mets are gone.
Yeah. shout out, was it Joe Russo or
Gay
Anthony
Joe
Russo?
Russo.
Yeah, he was. And so we see that 5 years later, of course, fucking Herb-ass Cap is running AA meeting
it's an AA meeting.
Yeah, it's an AA meeting for.
Did they explain why like the Statue of Liberty became a dock?
I think just so many things were unmanned. Because remember they mentioned later on like
governments couldn't figure out how to do
after
anything,
the five like as the 5 year jump goes on, because then like you see Natasha has a meeting with Rocket, Okoye, War Machine, Rhodes, who's trying to hunt down Clint Barton. And afterwards, she's eating a sandwich.
And Captain Marvel.
True, yeah, Captain Marvel as well. Yep. And she said she's going to be gone for a while because she's got to go really far to try to figure it out. And then Captain America comes in and mentions that some of the harbors, like by the Golden Gate Bridge, they can see, or on his way, like the Hudson, you can see whales.
Yeah.
And so, like, it was starting to become a little more civilized. You learn that Tony has a kid, which was pretty heartfelt. So he had a kid. Meredith Pepper, he's off. He's retired, basically. He's living on a lake. No worries in the world anymore. He's moved on. He got lucky. He only lost Peter, which, I mean, was his fucking kid. So
yeah,
I feel like it's at one point he's like
his ward.
Hey, pretty easy to get over at some point. You're just like, ah.
He didn't.
Sure. He did not.
Sure didn't.
Yeah.
He moved on enough where he could live his life, though.
As long as he hid that picture of him like up by like the dishes, and then he got some water on it. He was like, oh, yeah, that kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Might as well
help now.
Might as well invent time travel.
So Kenjack actually.
Morbius strip.
Kenjack mentioned another hero in this movie.
Oh, the rat.
We'll mention the rat, but I want to add the first hero, Dirty Dishes. Because had he not been cleaning the dishes, he wouldn't have seen the picture of him and Peter Parker, would have gotten sentimental, and wouldn't have figured out time travel. And we're going through it. Like, if you haven't seen it and you're listening, that's weird. But just in case.
So you have no idea.
Well, let's go. And actually, if you're listening right after seeing it, like, it's a lot of like things to process. So we're trying to go beat by beat. Ant-Man bumped out of the quantum realm because a rat turns on the
PIM reactor, whatever it's called.
Like the bus, the van.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it punches him out of the quantum realm,
which I thought was great. Was that Ken Jeong?
It was Ken Jeong. Ken Jeong was because the Russo brothers put everyone up. There's always a Community.
Oh yeah,
or Community
or
Parks and Rec, or one of them cameo in those movies. So he's out. Boom, out of the quantum realm. He goes to the Avengers facility and talks to them about time travel. Very funny scene. Ant-Man, funniest character in the movie.
So good. Laugh out loud. Are you going to Rocket?
Rocket's funny too.
Rocket's funny. Thor was hilarious.
Yeah, that's true too.
Fat Thor.
They wrote very good lines for Paul Rudd, and I would imagine he improvised some of them.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm not even trying to take away from him. Yeah, but, like, a lot of people were very funny in this.
Cap is kind
of
funny.
Yeah, Natasha has that sandwich. That's the scene we saw at the end of the first trailer where he's like, "Hey guys, like, I know you remember me," and so that all winds up with, I think, what we thought that was going to be in the future. By the way, all of the hair for Natasha Romanoff in the trailer is completely redone, just for the sake of fucking with people. They did a brilliant job marketing this movie because they threw everyone for a loop. There's some scenes that are not even in it.
I didn't pay attention. I didn't watch really any trailers for this movie. Not a one. Because A, I didn't want anything spoiled, and B, I know they do this shit every single fucking time.
They do.
They do. The only one he said wasn't in it. Well, we'll get to it later. I don't want to keep, it's like the machete thing. I don't want to keep jumping ahead. So they approach Stark. Stark says no. He's got a family now. Like, it's not worth it. And then he sees doing the dishes, and then he goes and studies and figures out you can time travel. While that's happening, we meet Professor Hulk for the first time. Mm-hmm. Banner, which I'm surprised we didn't see how that happened. I don't care, but I was surprised we didn't see how it happened. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Bruce Banner figures out a way to merge with the Hulk.
And over those 5 years.
Yeah, good. It probably took a while. Yeah. Very hilarious scene where people are taking pictures of him. He's like the only celebrity now.
Yeah,
and he's like, want a picture with Ant-Man? And the kids are like, no, no.
Hey kids, you know, like, your dead relatives, it's kind of because of him too. I don't know if everyone forgot about that.
Yeah. So that was good. I liked any issues of Professor Hulk. I thought it was well done.
So funny.
When he first popped up, I was like, ah, boy, this might be this movie's undoing.
But yeah.
They landed it.
Could have been the movie's Jar Jar.
It
for could've. Sure.
It absolutely it looked good, could have. But yeah, but like when you first see, I saw Young Thug's, not producer, Young Thug's engineer, Alex Toomey, when he saw Thor Ragnarok, was like, why is Thor's voice, what's the T-Pain shit?
Oh, auto-tune?
Yeah, why is, like, because he was, when he talked every time in Thor Ragnarok, and
yeah,
I haven't been able
to get
that
like
out of
auto-tune,
my head.
Yeah.
But they just had him talk like Banner in this.
Yeah.
Girl, stay! And right. It would be like, go tune in. And right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was enough, there was enough, like, a little bit of infliction from the Hulk where it worked. Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to make more jokes about him smashing things. They only made one. So, yeah, I think you're right. That was a moment where it's like, this is like Jar Jar is the key to everything.
He looked great, though. Like, I think that whatever mocap they used was fantastic because it didn't look too much like hulky, but it didn't look too much like Ruffalo. It was a good combination of both.
Good, it wasn't Jar Jar. It was a good job.
But it could have.
Yeah,
so
very
they fucking
well
crushed that.
Mm-hmm. So they figure out time travel. They pull the team together. They go find Fat Thor. Fat Thor, very funny.
So
that's another one that could have really derailed the movie, and I feel like there are some people who are going to really hate that. Mm-hmm. There are people who are going to despise that. I think it works for why they did it. Like, at first I was like, this could be bad. But I mean, he blames himself. He chops off Thanos' head, and he's like, I went for that. Like, it's ruined his life. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I like seeing Valkyrie. Korg, great. You know, the Fortnite thing. That character is so fucking funny for everything he says. Like, thank you, Thor.
Thanks, Thor.
Appreciate it, Thor. And, like,
he was like, Thor, there are people being mean to me online. And Thor was like, I'll handle this. Don't you worry.
He's so simple. And everything he says, he's very simple.
Thor was actually low-key extremely funny. The more I'm thinking about it, like, all of his lines were really, really, like, making me laugh or also making me very sad throughout the film. Like,
oh, yeah.
The cable part where, like, they kept trying to make him fix his cable was so funny.
So they bring them together. I mean, if I'm missing anything, throw that in. But they bring them together. They figure out time travel. Oh, and the last one they bring in is Ronan. So mm-hmm. Natasha hunts down Hawkeye / Clint Barton / now Ronan, who's a badass and like a fucking ninja, and is just killing bad people, all slaughtering bad people
around
the world.
He's just in Japan, which apparently a flight still exists. Like, airlines have resumed service. Like, the boating industry has been rocked, but airlines...
That's where I went up for the bathroom. Did I miss anything during where they convinced Thor and... She goes, and Natasha goes to Japan.
No, you just. I mean,
there's a really cool one take fight scene for Ronan, but other than that,
so I saw the end of that.
Yeah, that was cool. The one take where they go all the way through down to the bottom of the street level again, like that was a really well done one take. But other than that, nothing.
I'm
crazy.
Not gonna lie, because I think that like my whole waiting for this movie, I knew like the Disney Fox merger was happening. During that scene, I was like,
waiting for Wolverine.
Is this going to be Deadpool? Like, is this going to be Wolverine? Mm-hmm. Is this going to be someone we don't know? And then, like, I'm like, of course it isn't. And then when it was Ronan, who I'm not going to call him that.
I can't.
He's Hawkeye.
He's Hawkeye.
Yeah, I also don't like Barton either.
Good old Agent Barton.
He's
Hawkeye and Ronan, two things that they've never uttered and will never utter in those movies.
And he fights Hiroki Sanada, who was in the Wolverine. the Wolverine movie.
Right, and I was just like,
Was it the same character?
Might have been. You know, he's definitely very dead in the Wolverine. Wolverine kills him.
Oh, it's okay.
Claws to the throat.
Okay, yeah.
Just even the way that was shot felt like none of the other Marvel movies, because it was all, I don't know, it felt very comic booky. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It felt like Logan.
Yeah, I was about to say, it was way more gritty. Like, all the other shots were a little bit different. Like, it was went from goofy Thor and, like, New Asgard and everything, which, did they say we're New Asgard? I'm only assuming, like, Norway.
I think it's, like,
something.
Norway or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where they're trying to head in Ragnarok. That might have been implied. Yeah,
yeah,
I believe
this
it was
where
Norway.
Our people live or whatever.
It looked like fucking Aquaman's town.
Yeah, it did. It looked a lot like Alaska.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, they went from that to...
He just pops out at the end.
I would love a Jason Momoa cameo in any sense, and this movie would have been great. But, yeah, no, I thought that the style difference from that, where it was all light and airy, to Japan, where it was, like, all dark night, raining, and,
like vibrant, like, green and red and shit. Like, that was really cool.
It looked amazing.
I was curious why he was Ronin, and I like that his MO is essentially that my kids or innocent people died and you're still alive and you're a pile of shit human being. Right. And he's just slaughtering bad guys.
Yeah.
So then he gets brought in and he's actually the first one to test out time travel. They only have a couple times to do it. So that's like, let's not skip over it. So Banner, or I'm going to call him Banner. Banner and is explaining everyone time travel. And there's a great exchange with Colonel Rhodes and Scott Lang talking about, like, wait a second. Why, if we go back in the past, will not change the future? And Banner's explaining. And I actually need to see it again because it was over my head. Explaining why time travel doesn't work like that. And they're like, wait, not like movies? Not like Back to the Future? Yeah. And then they rattle off all these time travel movies. And Scott Lang just goes, or Hot Tub Time Machine? And that was the hardest to laugh the entire movie.
That was very funny.
It's such an obscure reference because it's like a newer movie. It felt on point.
It was.
It was in Hot Tub Time Machine. That was also in Marvel? You always get me with this.
Yeah, the villain is Sebastian Stan in that movie.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's Sebastian Stan.
And that's also the same scene where he talks about, they basically call Thanos Hitler.
Yeah.
Because they're like, why don't we just go back and kill baby Thanos? And everyone's like, dude, come on. Exactly.
First of all, that's horrible.
Yeah, and that's what leads them to say, like, that doesn't change your future. Because when you return to your future is still your future.
Right, that's why I was crying. Like, people laughed originally, but I think... Probably, 25%? I know we were all thinking it, because I turned to you and I was like, they just made the baby Hitler joke.
Yeah, that was the baby Hitler joke.
That's exactly what
so,
it was.
Because if they return back to their reality, it's still their reality. And that's why at the end of the movie, there's a reveal that we'll get to in a minute. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Hawkeye goes back in time very briefly, 5 years actually, because he goes and sees his family. And then he's brought back just in time and says, holy shit, it worked. Then they study the Infinity Stones. Figure out where they all are, and then they break up into teams. So the
I don't think we've said Stark's back at this point.
Right. Okay. Back, so after Stark sees the picture of Peter Parker, he decides I'm going to make the
On a whim, he tries to figure out time travel.
Yeah, and he does.
Not even knowing that Ant-Man was back also.
Very in character, by the way. He always figures things out in 5 seconds.
Right. He's just we'll run this last one. If it doesn't work, I'll go to bed. And then when he does figure it out, this made me laugh a lot, too. He puts their daughter to bed. He goes up to Pepper Potts, and he's like...
That's the part you laughed at.
He was like... Because it was just such a classic, that's nice, honey. Because he's like, what...
What are you watching? What are you reading?
Yeah,
book on composting.
Yeah, it's like, what's good in the composting world? And she, starts talking. He's like, I just invented time travel. And she's just like, that's nice, dear. And he sits down. They have a talk, and a very important line, which made me just rethink of it. A very important line was like, are you going to go to bed, or are you going to go do it? And are you going to go to bed, or are you going? Will you be able to rest?
Mm-hmm.
Which comes back later.
Right.
And he's like, no, I'm not going to be able to fucking rest. I just learned time travel. I can save everyone.
Yeah, that's a good point. And actually, they did a really good job with Stark and his kid, too. Which really set up the emotional end of the movie, which
Love
we'll get
you
to.
3000.
Yeah, which you already know what happened. But anyway, we'll get to the end when we get there. But I thought they did a nice job with the kid. It built some emotion because it's tough to introduce a character like that that has all the emotion for him, but you could see on his face and the way he talked to the kid. Like, he's a different Stark when he talked to his daughter, which was, I think, very, very important. Great job by RDJ.
And his dad.
Nailed it. Yeah, and his dad. We'll get to that because this is the big thing. So they figure out where all the stones are and they break off in the team. So let's try to get this right. So the team that goes to Vormir to get the Soul Stone, that's Black Widow and Hawkeye.
And Morag, that's both in the same spot. They're like sub-teams that went in the same spot.
So then the team going after the Power Stone, that's a very interesting team up. Nebula and War Machine.
Interesting.
Colonel Rhodes and Nebula.
I was like, these guys are dead. I just thought they were big dead.
As, uh, as good as the final battle was, like you were saying, was that your favorite part? My favorite part might have been this, when they just went back to previous movies.
It's unbelievable. It's like one of the coolest fucking things I've ever seen in a movie. Mm-hmm.
Because this, it's a show I've never seen, but from what I understand, Lost, the television show, fucked up their finale specifically because of time travel.
Yeah, they did a whole lot of time traveling
and,
in the show.
Same with Seinfeld. It was crazy. Yeah. They just and nuts opened a portal in Jerry's apartment. and then Jerry got iPad.
Yeah, Jerry had, and this part, like, and we're about to get to it because we're in it, but this was probably my favorite part, just seeing them go back to the previous movies. Like, they introduced different scenes from those movies, like different angles, and all of it just, it was so fucking well done.
And it's one of those things where this movie is not made to win Oscars, obviously.
It should.
I mean, it is an incredible achievement in directing. I want to say that, like, they'll get no respect to the Oscars, and you can laugh me all you want and say whatever you want, like, oh, well, you know, so in the four named guy who just came out of the scene and just made this incredible, like, artsy film. You know what? It's achievement in directing, and they just wove together two consecutive movies with 10 years of shit into it, and it works. I mean, what do you want to, like, again, laugh all you want? That is an achievement in directing, and they should be commended for it. First ones to ever try it, and they nailed it twice.
Like, I don't understand why The Godfather gets all this respect. They made what most people consider to be two good movies. They tried to make a third and got laughed out of the building.
Big somehow time. Got a fucking Best Picture nom. Somehow.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why did that piece of shit get fuck all three Godfathers?
Not only just that, but like legacy wise, they are like widely received by everybody with like a two pea brains. Like they're just like, yeah, it's the best movie ever.
Right?
Like, no doubt about it whatsoever. Like, is that as much of an achievement as weaving together 11 years worth of movies into like a very constructive and great narrative like this did?
It deserves respect, and I actually don't. And I'm a big, I respect everyone's opinion. You know, sometimes I'll get angry, but in the end, it's like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, you're allowed to have that opinion. I will have a hard time respecting somebody who says it's not a great achievement. It truly is. It's never been done, and they nailed it twice.
If anyone tells me this movie is less than 100 out of 100, you'll find me at the next Rough and Rowdy, and I will beat your ass. Because you're wrong, and you need to be shown why you're wrong.
So we'll get back to it. So the teams, we mentioned War Machine and Nebula, they're going after the Power Stone. And we'll get to like what happens in each. You have Vormir, the Soul Stone, guarded by Red Skull. That is Scarlet Witch and Hawkeye.
Barton.
You have Ronan. You have so many fucking names. And then you have the Battle of New York, which is where there's three stones in New York. There's the Time Stone.
Yeah, they time it. I think they time it so that it's when there are they figure out there are going to be three there during the battle.
Yeah.
When Quill was obviously at Morag. And, I mean, the other one, that's the easiest one because it's just technically always, you just had to get there before Thanos got it.
Or before, or the Power One, or?
The one on Vormir.
Oh, yeah.
That one was just always there.
Always just there,
you just have to die.
Yeah, and then on Earth, the Space Stone, which is the Tesseract, the Mind Stone, which is Loki's Scepter, and then the Time Stone's at the Sanctum, where Doctor Strange is not there yet.
5 years
it's,
early.
It's old Tilda Swinton. Yeah. The movie just becomes a Wes Anderson movie for 10 minutes. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just insane. So they go there, and I think that's five. Oh, and then Thor and Rocket go
Asgard,
back to Thor the Dark World.
Yeah.
And that movie getting a shout out in this is maybe the last
crazy,
thing I saw coming.
Crazy. They go back there to get the Aether, which is the Reality Stone.
Yeah, they had to get it out of her ass or something.
Yeah. So they all go there.
They do not explain how it
small
gets
cameo
that's what
for,
I mean. Like,
small cameo for Natalie Portman. We'll knock that one out first. So they go to Thor Ragnarok, Dark World.
Yeah.
They go to Asgard. Rene Russo, Thor's mom, still alive. Nice emotional scene there where she kind of sense like, yeah, I'm about to fucking die, but this is your future you're trying to save. Rocket pulls the ether out of Jane Foster, and they zap back to present day. Thor struggles a little bit.
He almost fucks it up.
He almost fucks it up.
He's an alcoholic.
Yeah, because he's big drunk
back
now.
While he's in Asgard.
Yes, but at the end, he puts his hand out, and then you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then he gets Mjolnir, gets the hammer back, and then zaps out. That's probably the most simple one. That's a rather simple retrieval of a stone. So they got one stone back. The next, I guess, more simple one is...
Think we'll go Vormir next?
We'll go Vormir. You kind of got the sense right when they arrived, they're like, someone's going to have to die. Red Skull tells them the whole spiel.
Why didn't Nebula tell them, which is what's what I wondered at the point. Did she purposely not tell them in order to like avoid that?
They got
to
get there. Yeah. So they go with War Machine and Nebula to Morag, and then Black Widow and Hawkeye go to Vormir. they fight multiple times, saving each other from killing oneself, and then finally, Black Widow's like, "No, like it has to be me," which makes the most sense. Like she's like, "Ronan, go, Hawkeye, go back to your family."
Yeah, it ties up their arc from the first Avengers, where she literally saves him from the mind control.
Yep.
Yeah.
And B, that fight I think symbolized the whole movie, where you're laughing and crying simultaneously.
Yeah,
yeah,
because you know someone's about to die. You know, like it's hard to cry over Hawkeye, but they found a fucking way to do it.
Yep.
And just to watch them like beating the shit out of each other, Mr. and Mrs.
Smith.
She had
a fucking
style.
Explosive hour out.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, and then,
it's
and
like then, Mr. and Mrs. Smith or something.
Yeah, Ronan jumps off a cliff in slow motion. You're like, he's definitely not going to get.
Yep, 100% getting saved.
Yeah, no way is this how. Like, he's smiling while he's doing it, and she's just like, no, dude. Like, you know that's
absolutely
not going to
happen. Absolutely not dead.
And yeah, that was emotional as fuck.
So he gets the Soul Stone, two stones achieved. Now gets a little more complicated.
The New York scene was so fun.
We'll do that one last because it's incredibly like complex. We got two stones. The third stone we're going to get is the Power Stone. So they're on Morag. Great scene of Peter Quill dancing like we saw in
with
Guardians.
With no music.
Yeah, and then so you see that whole scene that you saw in Guardians, and then they pull back and they redid it, but now it's just him singing with the music playing, and then War Machine's like, so he's an idiot. And it was like, yes. And they knock him out, and they go grab the Power Stone, and War Machine zaps back in time, but Nebula doesn't because she's being stopped because all of this happened back at that current time, 2014, which is the time period. Thanos, they intercept the message in Nebula because Nebula is still connected to future Nebula. Mm-hmm. This is the part that kind of where it gets convoluted because they needed conflict because, again, Thanos is dead. And so 2014, Thanos and Gamora and Ebony Maw, one of his Black Order, they realize this thing plays on Nebula's, like, her little, like, eye video recorder.
Yeah, it's very tethered. Star Wars.
Yeah, it's very Star Wars, yeah. And you see that you're now seeing future Nebula War Machine in 2014, and Thanos figures out, like, what the fuck is happening, and figures out that they time traveled. So Nebula is captured and brought aboard with past Nebula and all this shit. We'll get back to that in a minute because that plays out a little later. Then the battle in New York. That's the amazing flashback. So Captain America, Banner, Hulk, Ant-Man. Yeah, Professor Hulk. Excuse me, Doctor. Ant-Man, Cap, Stark, and Hulk. So they're there. They're in New York.
The scene ruled so fucking
hard. It was fucking amazing. So three of them go to Avengers Tower where we're at the end of the battle.
Right after they circle up.
Yeah, exactly.
The first thing
they show the circle up too, which is so cool.
They show the circle up, which is amazing. And then you see they approach the tower at the end where they're posing and they're all pointing their shit at Loki. And so Ant-Man shrunk down. Cap's job is to go after the scepter. And Stark's job is to go after the Tesseract. And so these older scenes, you actually see new parts.
Right.
Because they're extended scenes from
as
the original
if it were
movies.
Real life.
Yeah, as if it really happened after the movie. And you actually see Stark get up from that pose, like the end shot of Avengers.
Not posing.
Time for posing later, which I love. Just like kind of a fourth wall break, like a little self-deprecating humor.
It was.
So that was good. Great. So Stark flicks Ant-Man, who goes after the Tesseract being held by Stark. And it comes to a head downstairs in the bottom of Stark Tower,
where the best cameo in the movie history
bizarre
happens.
Robert Redford and his bodyguard, ESPN's fantasy football expert Matthew Berry. What the fuck? That was
you're getting real handsy too.
Jarred. I was like, what the fuck? ESPN's fantasy football expert Matthew Berry is in it. It's just a cameo. I mean, if you know him, it's going to completely take you out of the movie for about 5 seconds. You're wait, what?
Jeff was audibly perturbed.
I just saw him in the subway 2 days ago.
Right.
So it was very strange. But it's whatever. It's not like this big cameo where he wields a stone. And Stark's able to get it. Mm-hmm. Ant-Man puts older Stark or past Stark into cardiac arrest, and as future Stark walks away, Hulk, Hulk opens the door.
Back up. Yeah.
When they all leave when they split up because Hydra comes to get the Tesseract. Right? No, they get the scepter.
Well, we'll do the scepter first, in a second.
Yeah. But I'm saying when they split up. So all the rest of the Avengers get into the elevator. and Hulk walks in, and it's like a packed elevator, and they're like, whoa, 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 the capacity.
Take
and
the stairs.
He punches it. Yeah, take the stairs. And it's, I guess, technically the first time Hulk ever really spoke, because I hate stairs.
Yeah.
And he's walking down, and they cut to him like 2 minutes later. You forget about him, and he just looks
in the
down.
Stairwell.
There's so many stairs.
Yeah, I hate stairs.
That was maybe, that might have, like, this whole scene was very funny, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And
the,
so...
The time heist. And they're doing, like, the whole planning heist. Scene, too. For
yeah, that's right.
Hilarious.
They call this whole thing the time heist. That's what Ant-Man calls it, which is very funny. So they get the Tesseract gets knocked out of the case, mm-hmm. and Loki picks it up and zaps away with the Tesseract, which was... You knew a wrinkle was going to come. I didn't think that was going to happen. So now they've lost the Space Stone. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, Cap... This is... Probably, I think it's the second coolest part of the movie for me. Cap gets in the elevator because the people at the time who you don't know are Hydra, mm-hmm. and Stark even says it. He goes, "Shields arrived." Who actually they're Hydra? We just didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, it's like Rumlow.
Rumlow, who is Crossbones eventually.
Jasper Sitwell.
Yes,
and then the other random Hydra.
The other random guys who all kind of look
agents,
alike.
Yeah,
yeah, Strike Force or whatever it is. So they get in the elevator,
and Ant-Man's even like, "You guys didn't know they look like
they
that,
look
guys.
So evil."
Yeah. So Cap gets in the elevator, and it's like the elevator scene from Winter Soldier, and
it's the exact same.
You think
the coolest
he's,
fight.
You like, think he's going to do it again.
Right.
You think, and he's like, I need the scepter. And they're like, what? No, we're not giving you the scepter. And you see, you're like, oh, these are Hydra guys. And he knows they're bad.
Right.
And then finally, he's like, no, what's Robert Redford's character? The director. The director said I could have it. And
he
leans
don't
in,
worry.
Yeah, leans into Jasper Sitwell. He's, don't worry. And he goes, hail Hydra. That was fucking amazing. Yeah. And they just let him out.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh shit, Cap is Hydra. Yeah. Love it. Which he is in some comics. Which like So that's really cool. Yeah. Rest in peace, Gary. Died.
Yeah.
So yeah, rest
died
in peace.
Died in that in IRL. But
yeah.
Big,
shout
big
out
rip.
And rip. Yeah.
Yes.
So that was amazing. You're like, oh shit. Like just the tactics to do that. And then he meets up with other Cap. He meets up with older Cap.
Founds Loki. Yep.
Yeah, he fights Cap. Yeah, and so past Cap thinks that's future Cap, or that's Loki,
Loki
pretending
to
be Cap, but it's actually future Cap.
Yeah, that was this whole
And he's
series.
Like, you got to be shitting me.
Yeah. Yeah. This whole series is it's so fan servicey, but it's so
it works.
Good.
It works.
So
it's not, we're
well.
Talking about it. It's not like Rogue One fan service, which I love, but it's also like it's eye-rolly. It's like, hey, it's 3PO and R2, folks. Like, great. All right.
Remember
this
that?
Works. It moves the plot. And they fight.
Yeah. Old Cap goes, I could do this all day. New Cap's
I know.
Yeah. No shit, with the same person.
He's in a chokehold, and he says, Bucky's alive. And that's what gets the old Cap to kind of, or past Cap. I can't say old Cap.
That was the
past
same
Cap.
Grip that I think in Winter Soldier, Captain America has Bucky Barnes in, too, when he chokes him out.
I didn't realize that.
I think so.
And so he gets him, and he's like, what? And then as he says what, future Cap knocks him out and takes the scepter and walks away. So now they have that.
Yeah, he like turns him too with the scepter.
Yeah, Hulk, the Hulk stuff.
Well, he puts him to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, he puts him to sleep with the scepter. That's right. That's what he does. And so, whatever, Hulk gets the time stone. They go kind of into it, the Ancient One, Tilda Swinton explains, like, you can't take the time stone because it fucks up my reality. Mm-hmm. And then Hulk explains, no, I promise we will come back and bring it. And then he reveals that Doctor Strange gave it up. And the Ancient One's fully aware of who Doctor Strange is because she can see into the future. And he's like, you're 5 years too early. He's a doctor right now.
Yeah.
And she goes, well.
He's performing surgery over there. It's like, there's a huge battle going
That's
on.
The only
I do not think he should be performing
he's
surgery.
He's definitely not. Well, maybe he is because it's after the battle. Maybe. No, because he arrives during the battle.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely not performing surgery.
Should not be doing surgery at that point.
But, like, the only reason Tilda Swinton didn't just, like, murder the Hulk immediately is because he shows up and he's like, I'm here to see Doctor Strange. And she's like, I'm the only person the world who knows that Doctor Strange will ever live here.
Yeah. So she kind of says, like, you know, you
knocks him
I don't
out.
Believe you, but
knocks
like
him clean out.
Yeah, I need this. But then he explains, like, Doctor Strange gave it up, and she's like, Doctor Strange is supposed to be the best of us. If he gave it up, he gave it up for a reason.
Yeah. So and there's your reasoning from the end of
that works.
Infinity War.
Because I never liked the theory that he was going to send the Time Stone in the future. I never understood how that was going to work. I didn't like that. So this is a good way for them to get it.
I agree.
So now they have everything but one stone. They don't have the Space Stone. They don't have the Tesseract because that's gone now. So the only way for them to think about finding a way to do it is Cap and Stark have to go back to the 70s and take the Tesseract when S.H.I.E.L.D. had it. Mm-hmm. However, they're out of Pym particles, so they also figure out they can go back and take more Pym particles, which allow them to shrink down and travel through time. So they go back to the 70s, which is an awesome scene. Cap kind of doesn't really run into
That's
Peggy
where we got
Carter.
The cameo too.
Yeah, runs into Peggy Carter and Caesar.
Jeff
but,
doesn't know what cameo I'm talking about.
Wait, the Stark
No.
Stark's dad? What cameo?
I blanked on his name yesterday, too. The guy who... Stan Lee. We got the Stan Lee
cameo. Oh, Stan Lee. We do get the Stan Lee cameo. Yeah. A nice cameo. Kind of drives by. He's younger.
This is the same base from Winter Soldier as well. That Vola, whatever his name is. The German scientist. Toby Jones is in.
And Dr. Zola.
Yeah, Dr. Zola.
Zola? I don't think that's it. I think we're all still wrong.
No, wait. Zola.
Correct. Okay, Zola. Yep. So... who actually is referenced. He's still alive at that point.
Yeah, apparently Howard Stark's best friends with him. Howard Stark's where Zola at?
So they still... obviously, they don't know. They didn't know for years. Howard Stark was dead.
I was a Nazi regardless.
Just fuck this guy. He's a Nazi. Yeah, what? He worked with a Red Skull guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they are still working with him. Stark grabs a Tesseract and has a pretty long conversation with Howard Stark, which is very nice closure for him because, obviously, the whole thing came to a head in Civil War because... you know, he didn't get to say bye to his parents, and Bucky killed them, so that's really nice, and they kind of have a nice chat, and he hugs Howard Stark. Cap gets the Pym particles, and you see a very young Kirk Douglas. Kirk Douglas.
No, Kirk Douglas.
His son, Michael Douglas.
That's impossible to DH Kirk Douglas at this point.
So Michael Douglas, very young, runs away because he gets a fake phone call from Cap. Cap takes the Pym particles.
Who is the black woman snitch in the
That's
elevator?
The woman from Drake and Josh, Helen. That's
really?
That's the manager.
Oh,
of the
my
movie
God.
Theater.
Because people cheered in the theater, and I was like, this is what I don't get.
I don't know if the other people might recognize it from other things. I'm immediately like, that's Helen from Drake and Josh.
Right. The theater 100%. Definitely didn't Drake and Josh clap. You got to figure.
I don't know what else. That was like a big enough
Josh
show.
Peck hosted the red carpet last
time.
It was so a big enough show. Circle. People audibly cheered when she popped up, and I was like, no, I know that's not Viola Davis.
Yeah, definitely not.
Sure not.
Yeah.
She would never snitch like this.
So they pop back in time. So now they're all back. They learn that Natasha's dead. Black Widow's dead, and she was sacrificed. Very sad. And they debate, like, you know, can't we go back and get her? Thor doesn't understand why they can't go back and get her, and they decide, like, no, like, we have to move on. We
Very
have to make this work.
Condescending fat Thor being like, this is space magic. I know more than you.
Yeah, fuck
Everyone
you guys.
Everyone was like, no, you're an idiot.
Yeah, you'll fuck yourself.
Thor. Go have another beer.
So they have all the stones. They figure out how to put them all together. They put them in the Stark Gauntlet, which looks like an Iron Man hand. They put them in the Stark Gauntlet.
It's fire.
All in the meanwhile, while this is happening, or a little before this, Thanos is ready to exact his plan. He's going to jump back into the future.
This is fake Nebula.
Actually, excuse me,
the whole time. Yeah,
we missed everything.
Mention.
Yeah, Nebula was captured, and past Nebula finds a way to use future Nebula's time jumper and jumps back in time with the Avengers. So she's at the Avengers facility.
She switches head plates.
Yeah, head plates. And so they don't realize that while they're putting the Stark Gauntlet together, she's about to zap past Thanos, back into the future, along with Gamora and the Black Order, and his massive fucking ship.
Humongous ship.
Massive ship. Yeah. So Hulk is the only one who can put on the Stark Gauntlet, all the stick stones, and he snaps and unsnaps Thanos' snap from Infinity War, and then everyone's back. Because you see Hawkeye gets a phone call from his wife. There's
a lot
birds.
More birds.
Birds.
Yeah,
yeah, birds. That's
Marty Bush is going to love that part.
All the birds are back.
The back.
So
that's
they get
right,
that.
Baby.
If you're listening and you're
Marty
not...
Marty
Bush's
dick
If you're listening because you needed an Avengers recap
one.
And you don't know Barstool, just look up Marty Mush. Like, pause and look up Marty Mush. Yeah. We don't have to explain it. So they're happy. They're like, holy shit. It's over. Like, we got everyone back. And then Nebula zaps them back into the future. Thanos and his ship explode through the Avengers facility. Somehow they all don't die. I'm sure some people are going to be like, why didn't they die? They nuked this place.
They
and
get smoked.
Big time smoked.
They blow they everything buried. To fucking smithereens, like into the ground.
They were so happy for about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So, all turn to ash.
And then Thanos lands, sits in the middle with his big fucking sword, and he's like, they'll come to me.
Yeah.
We don't have to explain everything. Again, you're listening, you probably seen it, almost lisp. That's how excited I am. And so some people are trying to be saved. Captain Marvel's still nowhere to be seen, by the way. Worth noting. Ant-Man's
coming back.
Ant-Man's kind of trapped. So some of them are trapped. But the main thing is you have Stark, Cap, and Thor are going to go confront Thanos, who gives him this big speech about, like, basically, fuck you, fuck your planet, and fuck the universe.
No stones.
You ungrateful pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the stones back because the stones are now in the hands of Hawkeye, who's, like, running underground with them.
The last person I wanted to see.
Absolutely.
The guy who will for sure get snapped or who will die the second he puts that gauntlet on. Mm-hmm. And Thanos is like, I'm going to get the stones back, and then the entire universe, you're all gone. I'm restarting this universe because you all stink.
You're ungrateful.
He's like, he essentially says, like, you guys are proof that my theory was incorrect and that you would be grateful over time. Like, you weren't. You resented me more. So I'm just going to wipe you all out and have a new bloodline of people that only know me as being, like, this big grateful god.
You get 5 years max before.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm trying to start.
You're going
over.
Right back.
Yeah. So go fuck yourself. This is mine. They fight. He nearly... first off, Thor puts both hands out and calls Mjolnir and Stormbreaker. He's wielding both. They're fighting the shit out of Thanos. Hawkeye's running from the, what are they called, like the Bloodhounds or whatever from Infinity War? The Outriders.
It's very scary.
Just like Venom, basically.
Yeah.
So they're chasing him. Ant-Man saves Rocket and War Machine. They're all ready to go.
And Hulk.
That's right. Preston Hulk. Yeah. And so they're fighting Thanos. Thanos pretty much beats the shit out of all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
It was weird because, like, he was just, like, Thanos with no stones is still
that immortal titan.
Yeah. So he's a monster. Like, and there's, like, a part where, like Stark's trying to, like, zap him, and he's like, Hulk, use, or Thor, use me. And Thor, like, throws up Mjolnir and tries to hit it with Stormbreaker and just absolutely smokes Tony Stark. Like, it was, you could tell they hadn't all been on the same page in a while.
No chemistry.
They attacked him. Yeah, no.
And Thor was very much out of shape.
Oh, yeah.
Like, big time.
Yeah, so that Thor.
So Thanos almost stabs Thor with Stormbreaker. And as that's happening, you see Mjolnir, the hammer, moving, and Cap actually picks it up.
He summons it. He doesn't even
summons
just pick
it
up. He pulls it over to
hits
him.
Thanos, and Thor's like, I knew it. I knew you could do it.
I knew you were worthy.
Yeah. And so they all fight with it, and they're still fighting, and then Cap almost dies. Or excuse me, then Stark almost dies. Yeah, I thought Cap died briefly. Mm-hmm. Thanos cuts the shield in half.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Chops
like,
it up.
Yeah, like he more than half.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
chops
mean,
it several.
Chopped it up.
He has one third of a shield. I thought I knew Stark wasn't dead, but you know he's nearly dead. Mm-hmm. Thor's nearly dead. So they're all done. And then awesome fucking line. They say it's Sam Wilson comes over the speaker, or like the intercom, and goes, Cap, on your left. And great line from Winter Soldier. And then a Doctor Strange portal opens up, and out walks T'Challa, Okoye, and Shuri. And then all these fucking portals open up. We talked about this in the beginning of the pod. And everyone's there. Valkyrie's there.
Even before that, because Thanos, it wasn't just Thanos anymore. He had fucking
everybody. Oh, yeah, that's right.
He summoned his army.
I forgot. He summoned his army.
Everyone.
A huge army. So they're done.
Like tanks and shit rolling.
He said, what I'm about to do to this planet, I will enjoy very much.
Yeah. And to cinder.
Yeah. And so.
And it looks like it's just Cap versus 1,000.
Yeah. Like, that's a good shot, too. Like him stepping up into like the limelight and then like the entire fucking army just descending upon him.
And before we get to it, I know, like me personally and people who read like Civil War and have read all these, I know the airport fight in Civil War has been widely, like, some people love it, some people are like, there are like 8 people in this fight. This battle more than makes up for that.
Yes.
With
the
amount
of
people they were able to I don't think they could have done it at where the movies were in Civil War. I think we needed to know who everyone was like we did in this.
Mm-hmm. We get so they all start walking through. As Guardians are there, you have the Jabari tribe, you have the Wakandan army, you have everybody. Everyone under the sun, fucking Wong summons all these sorcerers, every character you've ever seen. Pepper Potts has the rescue suit. Valkyrie's there on her fucking Pegasus or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everyone's so there, out of the portals, and finally, the fucker says it. Cap says, Avengers assemble, and then the music plays. I mean, I'm fucking flowing with tears at that point. I'm laughing, and I'm excited. Like, I was shaking. I thought I was having a heart attack.
I didn't know what to do.
I kept going like this to my throat, like, because I was just pulsating. Like, you experience if you're 1% invested in these movies, you'll experience every emotion right then and there.
I checked my BPM after the movie, and it was up at like 190 range at some point. Like, so people, I was basically in cardiac arrest.
People listening to this have already seen it for the most part. We haven't seen it with our crowd. They were fans, but there were some critics, so it wasn't a full-blown
fan experience.
Felt like the biggest fans in there.
We did. So we're gonna see it. Like,
except for that one guy laughing at the thing we still.
Yeah, that guy
was clearly the bigger. He was clearly the bigger fan than us.
I think he knew the jokes.
He's like the slow clap guy from Not Another Teen Movie. He thought he could start a laugh. He didn't do it. One laugh. So we're seeing it, Ken, Jack, and I, with a huge group on Thursday. We're in the back of the theater. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fucking stand up during that moment. I don't want to telegraph it for everyone, but the second it happens, I'm going to stand up because all my energy from today's screening is going to still be pent up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm staying at this exact emotional level until Thursday.
It's unbelievable to see them all fly in. They do a nice job of cutting to everyone gets their own little a little fight par and meet up. Stark has the only real like emotional come down because Star-Lord sees Gamora, Quill sees Gamora.
Very funny. Scene.
But it's past Gamora, so she has no idea who the fuck Quill is. She kicks him in the balls. And
kicks
she
him twice.
Goes to Nebula. She's like, this is the guy? And she's like, this or a tree. Which is fucking great.
You missed the balls on the first hit?
Wait, we got to go all the way back. I forgot the thing I wrote down. the hardest I laughed in the movie was when Rocket is slaps Thor and is like, snap the fuck out of it. I lost people too. I lost Quill. I lost Gamora. I lost Drax. I lost Groot. I lost the chick with the antennas. I died. I lost the notion that he didn't take time to learn her fucking name
for Mantis.
Yeah. Oh, I lost the chick with the antenna. That's so great. That plays the character perfectly. Because that's the perfect balance of they're able to channel the emotion, but still keep the character and the mood of the universe alive still.
That whole sequence on Asgard too, and like he's saying to his mom, he's like, I'm not from the future, and she's like, oh, I know you're from the future. He's like, I'm from the future. Yeah. I'm totally from the future.
Like I was a witch. Like, I know you're from the future. Yeah. I can tell.
She was like, I don't see with my eyes. I know you're fat fucking self.
Yeah. He left, she's like, eat a salad, please.
Yeah. So they're in the battle. All hell breaks loose. The biggest battle of all time. Again, we talked about this, but it ends. Captain Marvel finally shows up, blows up Thanos, huge fucking shit.
Ant-Man, Cold Clock's one of those flying worm things.
He's giant man. That's how. He's giant man. Yeah.
Boom.
She does shrink back down because then him and Hope, they meet up again. Mm-hmm. Stark has a really nice embrace, a hug with Peter Parker, who's being himself, the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Yeah. He's like, this shit's crazy, man. Like, what's going on?
Instant kill mode.
Yeah.
He starts killing
all the
guys. Yeah, so Hope and Scott Lang, they're starting up the bus, or the van, because they want to go back in time and bring all the stones back. So
in
like,
the
there's this
of the fight with the Cucaracha.
I'm trying to think of what movies like where they're trying to pass off this thing that everyone's trying to. They're passing off the gauntlet one by one to try to run.
It's like
it.
Hot potato, essentially. I think there's a good reference for that.
The only one I can think of is a fucking Muppet, the Great Muppet Caper. I know you're not thinking of the Great Muppet Caper, but that's the one I'm thinking of. They're trying to keep it away, so. Black Panther takes it. Parker takes it. Barton takes it. Hawkeye and Captain Marvel has it for a while. There's a woman power thing. I'm sure a bunch of diaper heads are gonna fucking complain about that. But all like the female
Avengers. It was super
Avengers,
intentional.
Super intentional. Whatever. It was a big wink, wink. I mean.
Ooh. I think I thought of one, but it's a reference to another comic book movie in Justice League. Do you remember when they're all running away with the box and they just keep throwing the box forward to different people?
Oh, yeah. That's not what I was thinking of. That's another one.
There's a very obvious one we're forgetting. That's pissing me off.
Yeah, I can't think of it. But so they have that moment, Wanda, Okoye, Hope, Valkyrie, everyone, all the women, they go and the female Avengers beat the shit out of Thanos for the most part.
Was it Peter Parker who was like, do you need some help? And they're like, we've got it from here.
We got it from here. Like, yeah, fuck you.
And by the way, I think Carol Danvers could have just done it herself because
she does
forward.
So
she destroys the ship, like blows it to absolute smithereens.
So Thanos can still go toe-to-toe with her. He headbutts her. Or no, he punches her once and then he headbutts her and she does not budge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the fight continues and he's eventually able to get that and he's about to snap and she stops him again. Then the headbutt happens, actually. And then
she eats it.
She does
stares him in the face.
She eats it, but she still does get hit and brush back because he's still this mad titan, very powerful. He has the stones. He's about to snap, and Stark comes and tries to take it off. Fails, gets pushed away, and there he goes. He's about to snap again. Last snap, he does snap. He has no stones, and it turns out Stark was able to rip the stones out.
The old switcheroo,
yeah. And Stark has the stones in his right hand and is able to mesh them with the Iron Man suit.
I think he might have switched whole hands. Like, I think he might have ripped it off and put his on.
Maybe.
You know what
I mean?
Because it's not like he had his wired
set
for
to
that.
Go.
Also, it did look different, though.
Yeah.
I forget what Thanos says, but he does prompt Stark saying, no, I'm Iron Man, which is the last thing he says before he snaps. And what he does, he decimates Thanos and his whole army. And you can tell how powerful Thanos is because he's the last one to be decimated.
Yeah, he takes like a walk and sits down.
Yeah, he sits down and he's gone. So the universe is fucking saved. I'm sure we forgot. I mean, there's so much going on in that battle. That was fucking awesome.
It's pissing me off that I can't remember what movie has it.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking of it too.
Space Jam keeps popping. I know it's not Space Jam.
Hulk was permanently damaged with the snap.
Yeah, he was in a sling.
Yeah, he was in a sling at the end of the movie.
Was, like, withered.
But Stark was not able to take it. And Stark, unfortunately, big cry moment, perishes. That's where you mentioned earlier, Pepper's like, now you can rest.
Right.
Peter Parker cries. I mean, it is inevitable.
Cried.
Yeah, I cried. I think everyone cried. He was going to die. It was a pretty great ending. Like, there isn't anyone else who should have done that. He started it all. He's the one who felt like he always had the burden. He did the snap, and he's gone.
On My Mom's Basement, the Robbie Fox podcast, when him and Clem were talking about preview, like theories for this, they were talking about his whole redemption arc, which I guess they kept saying this would be finalizing him of not being selfish. I thought he kind of did that Avengers 1
yeah.
when he,
yeah.
when he flew a nuke, into space.
Yeah. I think that was enough. Yeah, I don't think he was selfish after that.
Yeah, I wouldn't, I wouldn't call it redemption wars. He's at peace. And I think him with his father helped a lot. And it was tough. He tells his wife, you know, about his daughter and all that. It's tough.
What does he say in Civil War to Zemo? Doesn't he say, like, I don't care, you killed my mom?
Yeah.
I figured he might have met his mom at one point, too.
There was a lot of Bucky. He says the Bucky.
Yeah, it's Bucky.
Yeah. Bucky's back. We see Bucky fighting. So then it goes through all the motions. You see there's a funeral. Very cool funeral. Well, cool funeral. You see a very emotional funeral of Tony Stark. They send out the old
arc reactor
that says proof that Tony Stark has a heart. Mm-hmm. You see all the Avengers.
Who was the teenager?
I have no fucking idea.
They zoomed in on for too long. I still have no idea who that was.
Is that Andrew Garfield?
I gotta go on the spoilers Marvel Reddit. But I gotta figure out the fuck that is.
I was gonna ask you guys right when we got up, and I'm like, they took too long on him. Or like, clearly he's supposed to be somebody.
I thought it was Evan Peters. I was like, what the fuck is that?
I'm like, is this supposed to be Quicksilver? Like, are they doing a nod? I don't get it. Like,
very confused. I have absolutely no idea. But you see everyone. Amay's there. Hogan, Happy Hogan's there. His daughter Pepper. I mean, everybody except for Gamora.
The hamburger line too with his daughter.
Yeah, he's like, Happy Hogan's like, yeah, your dad loved cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
The first thing he wanted when he got back.
By the way, I've said this many times before, the most delicious looking cheeseburger in the world is the Burger King that Iron Man has when he gets off the plane. The way he eats it with the wrapper on, just a boss move.
Did you remember the beginning of in Iron Man 1, he's fighting terrorists. And like the scale we are at right now in Endgame is outrageous.
He's fighting Obadiah Stane.
Obadiah Stane and like
bald Big Lebowski.
With the five rings or whatever terrorist group.
Yeah. Which, I mean, they did kind of like, that was why they didn't stick the landing just in the sense of the movie. They stuck the landing with every single character as well. Because they even like small jokes like that, like they make a Big Lebowski joke and Obadiah Stane was Big Lebowski. Like it just all goes full circle.
Good point.
I didn't even think about that.
So whatever, you have that. You have the funeral, very sad, very emotional, but like a great wrap up for Stark. You have Wanda Maximoff with Hawkeye talking about Natasha Romanoff, Black Widow being gone. And I feel like she kind of was talking about her brother, Quicksilver, too, who dies in Age of Ultron. Mm-hmm. I think they were kind of referencing that as well,
for sure.
And Stark.
For sure.
Who I did think he was going to come back at some point, but it didn't make sense to go back to Ultron. I mean, there was other ways to get the Mind Stone and all that shit. So they do that, and then you see there's another scene where Thor hands over the throne of Asgard to Valkyrie. Very cool. And then he goes off. Big revelation. He's part of the Guardians of the Galaxy now.
I don't know if that means
he's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, but that's going to probably be one of the biggest questions after the movie. Is Thor in Guardians of the Galaxy 3? And him
sure
and
sure seems like it.
It sure does. And him and Quill kind of fight.
They have a great back and forth.
We all know who the leader is, right?
Yeah, very good. Tree. Yeah. Love that. Him and Rocket have maybe the two of the, like, the best buddy.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you get that. And then the last wrap-up is Cap. You go back to... This is where
let's put the stones back.
Where Stark's house is.
I think they're at the Avengers facility because they showed all the construction in the
by the lake, right? Yeah. Okay, and so they have to get the stones back in time, like they promised. So Hulk is going to send Cap back in time. Sam Wilson is there, Falcon and Bucky. They send Cap back in time, and he doesn't come back. Which you kind of got the sense the second he went away, you're like, oh, he's staying there.
Oh yeah.
And then they turn around, and there's this old ass dude on the bench. And it's Cap. It's like very old Cap.
Super
old. Cap lived his life, put the stones back, and got to do what he wanted to do. Married Peggy Carter, was very content. He's like, and he gives Sam Wilson, Falcon, his shield. So Falcon's now the new Captain America, which was speculated was him or Bucky.
Oh yeah,
very cool that he's Cap.
I wonder if the treasonous fuck Bucky.
So I wonder if they're gonna change. I wonder if the TV show is gonna change. I wonder if the streaming service is going to be like Bucky and Captain America or something
like
that.
Captain America, yeah.
So or Bucky and Sam Wilson. So he'll probably be Captain America in the streaming service. Very cool as well. So you're going to get that. Though the WandaVision one is back in time because there's no Vision in this movie at all.
Vision's very gone.
Yeah, so
I was fine with
maybe it'll be back. Maybe it'll be Bucky and Cap and Falcon back in time. I don't know. But the timeline works, I don't think there's a lot of time for that.
No. I like how Hulk at the end of it, he's like, I tried when I did the snap to bring Scarlet Witch back. Like, a lot of other Avengers have died at some point. Like, Vision also died. Like, you're not going to tell Wanda that, right? Like, you only tried for Scarlet Witch.
Or Black Widow,
Black Widow, rather.
I mean, they like used to fuck. So I think that.
Yeah.
I think everyone.
Yeah. But actually, now that I say it, there really is no time for Bucky and Falcon to have a buddy cop thing. Until after this movie.
Correct.
So there will be a Captain America then. It has to be.
Also, the first time they showed Professor Hulk, all I was thinking about was Ken Jack thinking about his giant green hog.
I mean, you know that's exactly what everyone
I thought about it pretty quick. We all thought about it.
Don't think about me thinking about it. I know you thought about it.
If I had just been seeing the movie alone, I would have been thinking about it, but since I was sitting directly next to you.
He was wearing a cardigan. He had those like thick frame glasses on.
That was a great first line. He's like, I know what you're thinking. I wear shirts now.
Yeah, still wasn't wearing shirts.
That exchange with him and Ant-Man, I'm going to go back to it. When they're trying to get him to, like, Hulk is insisting he takes a picture with the kids. Yeah. He's like, I mean, that kid just, it was clearly improv. Like, that kid just shook his head no. He doesn't know who I am. Just take the goddamn phone. Yeah.
When Ant-Man keeps, like, turning into, like, older and younger version of himself, and he turns into a baby, and like, he's a baby now, and Hulk's like, he'll grow.
Yeah. They're like, well, fine with this.
So he gives him the shield, gives Sam Wilson the shield, then Falcon notices he's got a ring on his finger, and he's like, you want to tell me about the lady or whatever? He goes, no. And then it cuts to the scene like way back in time, and it's Cap and Peggy Carter. Perfect ending.
Playing the same song as when Nick Fury showed up at Cap's house.
And Nick Fury does show up at the end of Stark's funeral with like a little just like a little look onward.
And Stark's funeral, which people laughed at this. I think people just didn't know what emotions to have anymore.
Yeah.
And Stark's like minor like Viking funeral kind of. They put his original reaction.
Yeah, proof that Stark has, but you know, we didn't mention the fact that some guy people did laugh.
Up. Yeah.
Like, ha. Huh.
It's like it's probably the same fucking guy. He doesn't get it.
Yeah.
That's actually proof that guy's never seen the movies. That's it. That's what I wanted to hear. Okay. So then it goes to the credits. Very simple credits, but then the big credits, it shows every single superhero we've seen. Everybody, even beyond that. Like Marissa Tomei. Just every character. And then there's a very special original Avengers credits where they actually have their autographs come up on screen, their signatures with really their names. Mm-hmm. Everyone clapped for Robert Downey Jr. And then it went to the credits. No post-credit scene, which I'm fine with. Yeah. What do you follow it up with?
I thought
like Mysterio, just like Jake Gyllenhaal. People would be like, I mean, I'm excited for Spider-Man.
Save
but
Spider-Man saying, for yeah, Jake, going on vacation.
Jake Gyllenhaal, like, I'll pass.
I thought I was done crying once we hit the credits, and then when they end with Tony Stark, I'm going to cry now. When they end with Tony Stark, I was just a puddle. I was just an absolute puddle.
It was perfect.
And it like, clinks down you know, at the end of the music at the same time. Yeah. Like, the helmet goes down. Oh, it's perfect. Perfect ending.
I mean, the whole thing was perfect. Cole, I know you said the 100, not 100 thing. I don't even know how to, like...
Very clearly
I don't know how to look at that as a fucking movie. I don't know how to look at that as a movie because it goes beyond. It's beyond
it's not
that.
Just one movie.
It's beyond that. It's. I say this in the podcast all the time on our podcast. If you're listening, subscribe to the pod. If you've never listened before, I sit in an office of Star Wars toys with some Marvel stuff. I actually bought a Hulk Thanos Funko Pop at the movie. Never done that before.
Yeah.
You have to understand. Like Star Wars meant the most to me, but for some fucking reason, this saga's crept in there, and it means so much more than just a movie, and it's wild to say. It's wild that I cried during a comic book movie, but like it's emotional. If you care, like you said, Cole, even 1% about these movies, your emotions are going to be they're going to explode. You're going to have no idea what to do with yourself during this movie. It's going to be so emotional and awesome. It paid it off in every way possible. I wasn't nervous, but you're still like, fuck, what if it doesn't land? Mm-hmm. It landed. Everything that you wanted paid off. Quickest 3 hours of my life. There was one point I'm like, shit, they're already here? I feel like we're 2 hours in. We're not even 2 hours in yet.
I know I said I wasn't going to bring this movie up again, but was the scene we were talking about from Ready Player One, don't they have a scene like that where they're trying to get something and they're like tossing it around?
Doing keep away. No, maybe they have the end where they have to like crack the password or the key, the cheat code or whatever for that game.
They are throwing something around, I think. You're right.
Yeah, like you can't drop it. It's something that you can't drop, whatever we're thinking of. And they're playing keep away with it. I hope it's not that, but I'm searching through all the movies I own.
I'm still thinking Muppets Take Manhattan.
The one movie I think to compare this to for me personally, like this, the Iron Man one came out when I was like 15, so this isn't like a generational build like Star Wars. That's like a totally different bag. This I feel like was just such a really like rapid fire build of movies and like characters where they developed and you cared about them. And for me, the next franchise like that was like be like Harry Potter, and I think that this concluded and wrapped in such a better way than
that first half of
Deathly
Hallows. Mm-hmm. Not great. I mean, the last Harry Potter movie is fucking incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And it's just a well-made movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, like Force Awakens, I mean, that build-up meant so much to me. Last Jedi as well. And when Force Awakens first came out, I mean, I loved it. I love Force Awakens. Great movie. And I felt a lot of great emotions and that excitement. But this was just different. It's just I've never experienced this in theaters before. And again, the funny thing is, the only thing that you listening have on us right now is the fact that we haven't experienced it with like a big theater of fans. Yeah. I don't know. Like, my emotions are going to hit all over again. Just experience it with people you know who all truly care and give a shit, and like friends who you're going with. And it's, man, it. Thank God, like, that I bought into this as much as I did. Like, I was never a comic book guy. I didn't care about comic book movies. Like, I care about comic book movies, but not in a way like, oh, need more of these.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And now, like, I studied the lore. Like, once Thanos came on the screen in Avengers, it's like, who the fuck is that? Like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. Let me learn more about this guy. And then I've been in deep ever since. It's unbelievable.
So when I graduated high school, was 2007. For some reason, I went back the next year, and I was talking to someone I went to high school with, and he was talking about Iron Man, and he said it was one of the best movies he'd ever seen, and I thought he was a fucking idiot. And then I saw it, I was like, that's a cool movie, a little overhyped by this one person, shout out to Vince Montalbano.
Nice, Vince.
And then,
hey, Vince,
I'll never forget, I went to college, so like I went to college when like a lot of these movies were coming out, so I wasn't seeing a lot of them between like 2000, when did Avengers come out, 2011?
2011, yeah.
12, 2012.
12. Mm. So that was like right when I got out, dropped out, and I remember it came up on Netflix, and I just kept rewatching Avengers over and over and over again, because it was just on Netflix, and I was like, this movie's fire. Like, the once the circle-up scene happened, that's when I was all in.
Think about the circle-up scene. When you saw that, you're like, this is incredible.
Right.
And we just saw times 1,000.
Correct. Yeah.
And they played like that tune for the first time. Like,
so that happens. And then I was working security. I don't remember if I've told this on here before. I know I've just said it to people.
We've talked about this. I know you're about to say,
So I was working security, working overnights at Fenway. And I wanted to bring up the YouTube channel because I always forget his fucking name. The YouTube channel was just Emergency Awesome. I think what happened was I was watching, and I know you talked about this on today's episode of Lights, Camera, when they say, like, the Serpent Society. Like, it was that panel. I remember.
The announcement.
I was watching that announcement at Fenway Park at like 2 a.m. and I was just like, wow, like, I need to stay alive for all of this.
Like, what's Infinity War?
And when like the autoplay on the side brought me to his channel, Emergency Awesome, where he was breaking down every second of every fucking Avengers thing, and I was like, where does he keep getting all this information from? It turned out it was from the comics. I started buying the comics, reading all the comics, going back and watching all these. And I remember I told my father so vividly, like, they have all this shit planned out, and I can't die before it ends. And so there was a part, like, during the battle where my blood pressure or my heart rate was probably at, like, 198 as well, where I was like, I said I was going to see it and die. Like, the credits are going to roll, and they're going to have to carry my lifeless corpse out of here. So just being that my arc during all this, I'm sure other people have not similar ones, but everyone has their own story as to why these movies fucking rule. Comic book movies aren't for dweebs like you. Like, anyone from the 1970s who like grew up on comics and got stuffed into lockers for reading them just grew up in the wrong era entirely.
Yeah, big
That's
time.
So cool.
I saw someone tweet it. They said nerd culture is now pop culture.
It's just the fact.
It's like if you laugh. If you laugh when people bring up the excitement for comic book movies, you're a fucking loser. I'm sorry. Like, that's just bottom line. Like I feel bad for you. You're not in on something that
a cultural moment worldwide. Yeah.
I know that's like mean. That's like reverse. That's like reverse bullying. But like, fuck you.
Yeah. No, it's necessary.
Like,
no,
if you're still laughing people who get excited for this, you fucking stink.
Those people stink, and I feel so bad for like DC who will never experience this.
Oh man.
I hope they do one day. But.
Nah.
Shazam's not wasn't bad.
Didn't you hate Shazam?
No, Robbie hated Shazam.
All right. I knew someone hated it. I mean, if you're coming at me, that would be like if they tried to start all this off with Guardians. You just can't. Like, and DC has to like wait, I think, a decade and start from scratch because they already tried to have this movie with their first one.
Yeah.
Like, they tried to lead off with Justice
League. Quickly.
You can't do that. They're like, all right, here's
no
I guess play. Like they could fight like Darkseid or some shit. I don't know. But like I think they've already fucked up the bag. No one wants to be Batman, like that's a problem. Like people are dying to
to be like tertiary characters in the Marvel universe more than Batman.
I was watching Iron Man last night. I wanted to start with that and I watched that and Infinity War back to back, and my girl's seen none of these. And she was like, I didn't know Terrence Howard was in these. I was like, buddy.
Don't get used to it.
I was like, buddy, he isn't. No one fucked
up. I watched the Iron Man panel this morning.
back when like they announced it at Comic-Con, and he was like, and Terrence Howard, who's going to play War Machine if these continue? They continued. He didn't play War Machine.
Sure didn't stay.
Which, honestly, thank Christ.
Yeah.
Because if Terrence Howard was like, what if we kill baby Hitler, Maine? I would have been livid.
Baby Hitler,
Maine. I would have been livid.
One of the best parts about the end credits, and I feel like people who don't like, you just forget how many people in it. They're like, Marissa Tomei, William Hurt, Robert Redford. You're like, holy shit, everyone's in these fucking movies. This is insanity.
John Favreau got mentioned like 5 times because he's a producer, a director.
Director, writer, actor, like, is screenwriter. It's absolutely outrageous.
John Favreau, like, the most important person in Hollywood.
Right now, he is a very protected son of ours. Like, he needs to be protected at all costs.
Obama speechwriter, Lion King. He's on everything.
Of course,
things
right. Most importantly.
All right, so let's close it out. Where do you place this movie?
With, like,
among Marvel?
For cinema?
Among MCU. This is the greatest cinema experience of my life, and I haven't even seen it on opening night yet. So, I don't know what could ever beat this. Maybe there's a universe in like 20 years, but even then I'll be older and more wise.
It's so funny, and I feel like it's going to be so rewatchable, right? Like,
oh yeah, because eventually I'll stop crying every 5 seconds when I watch this movie.
And like just hilarious, so many more lines,
so many jokes. I want to hear that chick with the antenna joke.
Yeah,
again.
So
that
funny.
Is, I mean, incredibly funny.
So funny. Robbie Fox is going to love this fucking movie.
I have to put it up there with Infinity War. I think what. This one, it doesn't lack. It's just different because this one's the hero movie. Yeah. Infinity War is the villain movie. Thanos is unfucking believable. It's going to have to be tied. Like, I view these as the same fucking, they're the same movie. They're combined.
It's one long movie.
Yeah.
I think we were saying earlier, too, if Peter Jackson directed these, we would be on part
movies,
two of seven.
Now, I can't wait to watch these back to back.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's
someone's
got to
connect him. Who is it, Topher Grace, that does that? Like, we should combine the two movies and just release it somewhere.
I wonder if they will release it combined. I think they should. I think it should. Same fucking guys made it. Just do it combined. I should tweet them.
It's a 6-hour movie.
But I don't know if you...
Their mansions are probably a little full right now.
Mm-hmm. I could imagine so. You got the blue check, though.
Yeah. It's probably still full, though.
I wonder. What are the post-credit scenes from Infinity War? Oh, it's the Captain Marvel beeper.
You could still do that, too.
No, I'm saying it would have to be... Because Thanos at his garden, the beeper, and then right into Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I guess you could
do that. I think
that works. Yeah, I guess you could do that. I'm fine with it. I'm going to be running them
at least
back
that's
and
a 6-hour cut.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Completely fine with it.
It's a great day right there.
Yeah, I mean, I would go this one, Infinity War 2. Like, not any slight to Infinity War, but I would just... This one was the culmination. Like, I feel like this one had a much higher degree of difficulty than Infinity War did.
It's Infinity, wrap up so much shit.
That's what I mean. And I can't think of a single thing they didn't wrap up.
Tied it all together perfectly. Everything ended... Like, there's not one thing where I'm like, ah, man, really? Like, I wish that, like, boom, good, everything. Perfect.
Yeah, I think among the MCU, specifically, it's my favorite MCU movie. As a standalone movie, I don't think it's my favorite. I think it's still Guardians, but I think among the MCU, you can't touch it right now. Absolutely not.
It's right up there. They're both up there.
I have this, like, I don't... But do you guys think Thanos would be able to beat up Killmonger?
So after watching it, I have to say, I think it's an even matchup.
I don't know. It's pretty close.
We didn't get the meme we all wanted. We didn't get Ant-Man in Thanos' butthole.
He didn't do it.
It would have been very funny if, because the snap was undone, Killmonger, although he didn't even die in the snap, but if he came back and was on Thanos' side for some reason.
I actually thought we were going to get some different villains. I actually thought we were going to get Ronan the Accuser, which I'm not disappointed by. I think it would have muddied it up, but I did think we were actually going to get that.
They did. They mentioned him, too. Like,
they did,
in passing. But they didn't say his name. I feel like they just said, like, we're not the only ones searching for the Power Stone right now. Like, there's other people. And they mentioned
Thanos him up, too, because he said he was, like, blinded by his own greed or something.
Yeah. Well, Red Skull is freed now, too, which I feel like we might see Red Skull in, not Hugo Weaving. He will never put that makeup on ever again, because remember, it's not him in these movies. Mm-hmm. Might see him in the limited series, which apparently the limited series on Disney Plus are actually going to be very intertwined with Phase 4 and on, so...
I mean, that movie, it ended where it began with Iron Man, and it fucking crushed.
Yeah,
it's
did everything.
It's the best 3 hours I've ever spent in my life.
Who's the leader of the Avengers now? That Cap and Iron Man are like the two go-to de facto leaders.
Probably Bucky and Falcon.
And fucking what's-her-name's not there.
Yes, no Scarlet.
Scarlett Johansson's dead.
Very dead. Scarlett Johansson, Scarlet Widow. Scarlet Witch.
I mixed them up the entire time. Wanda, Natasha, I mixed up the whole time. Mm-hmm. All right, I hope this was great. We wanted to give you just kind of like a beat for beat recap because that's all I wanted to do after the movie. It's like, we got to talk about this now.
Yeah.
Right. And you can't talk about it with anyone because it doesn't even come out for 2 more days.
So hopefully, you know, this was helpful to hear other people talk about it, kind of lay everything back out there for you if you just saw it. Good luck trying to see it again this weekend. Probably impossible. I actually might see it again on Sunday at 7 a.m.
because it's the only option.
I wouldn't have been able to see it until next week, which is someone who works on social media.
It's not tenable.
Right, and as someone who's invested so much time in these movies would have infuriated
We joked that you're during, because you have to tweet draft night, and like you're just going to be tweeting memes while people haven't seen the movie yet. Just like, with the 15th pick, they select Fat Thor. Be like, what the fuck are you talking
about? DJ Metcalf's a real Fat Thor. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, right?
But yeah, thank Christ that random bar in Carolina won so Robbie Fox couldn't see it.
Bob Fox.
Thank God the Jonas Brothers have no sway.
Over East Carolinas. Yeah, or East Carolinians.
Otherwise, I would have been fucked.
Well, thanks for doing this. This was fun. Make sure to listen to our review of this with Old Trill Ballins, the third co-host on Lights, Camera, Pod. Also download Mixtape on Twitter. You can follow him on Twitter, but also on iTunes. We'll shout out Bob Fox, My Mom's Basement. That's on iTunes as well. We have Mr. Sunday Movies from the Weekly Planet down in Australia. He's coming on next week to review it with us. We'll go... Listen to our review, please. We need to pay our bills, but this is going to be the more in-depth one. But we'll have more time to decompress and talk about it. Hear Trill's thoughts, Mr. Sunday Movies. Huge comic book guy. So we'll love to hear what he thinks. I'm waiting on his DM. He saw it. I want to know what he thought.
You'll have seen it like two more times?
Two more times.
Yeah. You'll have a little bit better understanding. I'll
have it too as well. Yeah,
we'll have a better understanding.
We'll have six views between us.
Yeah. For Ken, Jack, and Coley, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you next time.